Why does it feel like nobody really gives us the inside scoop? Join us on The Powers That Be, the podcast where insiders from Puck break down who has influence, how they use it, and what it actually means for you. New episodes every weekday. Listen to The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
Join 105.7 The Fan at the 57th Annual Towson Town Spring Festival, hosted by the Towson Chamber of Commerce, Inc. and the Towson Main Street Collaborative on Saturday, May 2nd from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. and Sunday, May 3rd from 1 p.m. to 6 p.m. The festival will feature a great lineup of local gourmet food trucks and vendors showcasing and selling art, jewelry, handmade products, and other unique treasures. The Towson Town Spring Festival is family-friendly and includes a range of entertainment from live music to dance performances, rides, and games, and beer garden.
From the Anderson Automotive Studios, this is WJZFM, Catonsville, Baltimore's sports talk at 105.7 and always live on the free Odyssey app. From the OuchGuy.com sports desk, here's Nolan McGraw.
There was a lot of speculation around what the Ravens might do at the D-tackle position entering the draft. They ended up waiting until the seventh round to select Rashawn Benny out of Michigan, although most analysts had him going much sooner in rounds three or four. Maybe his previous injury history played a role in that fall, but at the same time, his previous connection playing under Jesse Minter seemed to help him find his way to Baltimore. Here's what the head coach had to say about the pick.
Showed some really good stuff, does a lot of things on tape that obviously we like to see. And so I think he's just kind of a guy that's gotten better and better. He was really, really raw and a kind of a young player coming into Michigan. But those guys there, you know, I know he's been well-trained and well-coached and excited to add Ray.
And last night in the NBA playoffs, the Pistons kept themselves alive by beating the Magic 116-109. Cade Cunningham scored a franchise playoff record 45 points to help Detroit stay up from start to finish. Paolo Banchero also dropped 45 points in the losing effort, but Orlando still holds a 3-2 advantage in the series, and they'll have a chance to close it out on their home court tomorrow night. This Fan Flash is sponsored by McDonald's. Downloading the McDonald's app has its privileges. Order your favorites ahead of time, save money with app-exclusive deals, earn free food, and get your favorites delivered with McDelivery. Stop wasting time and order from the McDonald's app today. From the Bob Bell Kia Nissan of Essex Weather Center, partly cloudy with highs in the upper 60s. I'm Nolan McGraw, Ravens, Terps, and your home for the most Orioles coverage, 105.7 The Fan.
An insider's look at the National Football League.
That's a W. How many of you want to eat a W tonight?
Time for NFL lunch.
You ate turducken. There it is.
He's probably a Popeye's biscuit away from being a tight end.
Sponsored by Box Hill Pizzeria and Crab Cakes. Best crab cakes in Maryland.
We'll get back to the baseball talk, ripping it with Ryan Style here in a few minutes. So stick around for that. Mike Harmon, Fox Sports Radio. He'll be joining us at the bottom of the hour. Bob Haney, Nolan McGraw here on the Starter Request Thursday. Pick a song, we'll play it. Last hour of the show, send your request. Cloud Support text line at 410-583-1057. Get your votes in, Featured Artist Friday. That reveal coming up in about 45 minutes or so. But this news broke right about an hour ago. Calais Campbell is signing a deal with the Baltimore Ravens. Let's see, Adam Schefter first reported, one-year deal, coming in for his 19th season. And according to Jeff Zrebeck from The Athletic, he expects the deal to be very similar to what he had last year in Arizona, which was 1 year, $5.5 million. Since he left Baltimore after the 22 season, he went to Atlanta, played 17 games for the Falcons, in 23, had 6.5 sacks. In 24, played 17 with Miami and had 5 sacks for the Dolphins. And remember, Nolan, the Ravens actually tried to trade for him at the trade deadline then. And I believe it was McDaniel, who was the coach at the time, shot that down. And then last year with Arizona, goes back to where he started his career, played in a Super Bowl with the Arizona Cardinals. 17 games played. He's 40 years old now. 17 games played. Had 43 tackles, 6.5 sacks. And another thing that he does as well as any player that's ever played his position, because he is a big dude. He bats the balls down at the line of scrimmage. He is a disruptor when it comes to the hand, 6'8", 315, and he's got that reach that puts him up into like Wilt Chamberlain territory. But Calais Campbell, one-year deal, coming back to Baltimore, and we can look at it a couple of different ways. Does this mean that Nnamdi Matabike's situation is still unsettled, even though he got good news from his doctors? They're still just not real sold on the young depth that they have. Bringing in a guy that still played well, advanced age 40, what does this mean?
Yeah, I wouldn't read into it in the Matabike sense. Okay. To me, it's just insurance, right? And that's the reason why I like it, even though I was surprised that it came this early, right? This is typically a move for a veteran player, a veteran pass rusher. That's somebody that even the player isn't in a rush to sign because, let's be honest, he probably wants to miss a week or two of training camp if he could get away with it. But I'm not saying Calais is lazy. We just know how that is with veteran players.
Sure.
They don't need him to do a ton. They don't need him to be a huge piece of this defense. They just need him to be depth, insurance, and a rotational piece, which you look at what he's done these past couple of years since he's left Baltimore. It's become more of that rotational piece. He's coming off the field more than he did in his prime, obviously. You know, you mentioned he's going to turn 40 there in September, right before the season starts. 19 years in the NFL at his position is unheard of, first and foremost. Really, for most players, that's unheard of, especially a guy that's in the trenches. It's really incredible how he's maintained good health. And the consistency's there with the sacks. You know, 18 total in the last 3 years, and it wasn't like, oh, 10 came in 1 year, and then the rest were scraps.
Right.
He's in that 5 to 6 range, 6.5 every year. He plays a full 17. That's huge and impressive, given his age, given his tenure. So I like it a lot, right? And now when I look at this D-line altogether, pass rush, all the pieces, they got everything they need. You know, I can't think of any other guy, or, hey, go sign this guy or go add another piece here. I mean, even if Matabike wasn't ready to rumble by the start of the season, I think they'd be in pretty good shape.
Yeah, have Travis Jones, who ascending player, now Calais is back. Broderick Washington, what are you getting there? Ever since he got paid, he's been an underachiever. John Jenkins, who they extended, a little on the older side, but still played well enough to get finally his first contract extension. And then you have Aeneas Peoples entering his second year. We talked about Rashawn Penny, who the Ravens drafted out of Michigan, and C.J. Okoye. So to your point, and if Matabike is added to the mix, talk about a bonus. So now the depth on the defensive line, especially the interior of it, doesn't look that bad anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, and there could be some changes still coming. You know, I was looking at Broderick Washington's contract set up here. Pre-June 1st, post-June 1st, doesn't matter. A release of him would create the same cap savings. So I had identified him as a potential cap casualty when free agency was beginning. Nothing came of it. But if they feel like they need to spend a little extra money and add some depth elsewhere, maybe if they feel like they need a little money to throw at a center, like if somebody's a veteran release somewhere, then Broderick could be out and Campbell would step in for him.
Yeah, and Zion Young could possibly move inside, as Vinny talked about, because he's an edge setter, second-round pick out of Missouri here. But as we look at the outside linebacker position, well, we'll put Zion Young right now. Tavis Robinson, Zion, Trey Hendrickson, Mike Green. And we're looking at Jesse Minter as the pass rush whisperer is going to do for Mike Green, maybe what he did for, you know, Owe last year with the Chargers. And you have Adiza Isaac and Rucker. So, I mean, if Hendrickson is just a semblance of what he was at Cincinnati, let's pencil him in, what, 12, 13 sacks?
Minimum, yeah.
Okay, you get 17, great. But let's go that. Mike Green goes from 3.5 to 8. Let's get greedy and say 10, something crazy like that. And then Tavis Robinson, solid, if not spectacular, contributor. And who knows what Zion Young will bring. They had 35 sacks as a team last year, which was unacceptable after leading the NFL in, what, 23 and finishing second in 24. On paper, it looks like, and with more confidence, I guess, in Anthony Weaver and Jesse Minter, this looks like a pass rush that could be pretty disruptive here, health permitting, in 2026.
Well, that's why I give them a lot of credit for really getting this all organized at this point, right? And most teams have their depth chart pretty well set coming out of the draft, right? You should have very little needs after that. But we know the Ravens, again, I just got done saying it. Like, I thought that they might be in consideration for a Jadeveon Clowney reunion. Again, something that would come much later in the summer. And maybe at that point, there's some injuries that have clouded things a little bit more. I'm just happy that everything's kind of set in stone right now. Like, again, I look at this group up front, D-line, edge rushers. I don't need to make any changes. This is the group that I want to roll into the season with. And as much as we like the Trey Hendrickson addition, he is going to do great things for the in the sack department. He's not like the Max Crosby move that would have been, where Crosby never comes off the field. So Hendrickson, he is somebody that will step out every once in a while, hopefully to his benefit to keep him fresh. But I like that they then place the emphasis, oh, let's go get another guy on the edge in the draft. Let's go get, Calais Campbell's more interior, but you get the point. Like, let's have more rotational pieces here so we're not asking Hendrickson to be somebody he isn't.
We speaking of Minter and Anthony Weaver, and Zach Wirth's taken a lot of flack here last couple of years now in Seattle, reuniting his linebacker coach with Mike McDonald. Are we putting too much hope, emphasis on what Anthony Weaver and Jesse Minter will bring to the equation? It's a new regime, but Anthony Weaver was bypassed, I think, twice for defensive coordinator when John Harbaugh was the head coach. Is our confidence level justified that the talent they have, these two guys and the assistants at the positions, will maximize their talent? Because I thought Chuck Smith was going to be the sack guru and everyone will have a signature move. When Adafe Owe left here at the trade deadline last year, before it, and no sacks. And then became Lawrence Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, got $100 million from Washington.
Right. I think skepticism is appropriate, right, when we're talking about new faces in town.
Yeah.
But when I look at this Ravens coaching staff, I think I have more questions or concerns, anxiety, whatever, surrounding Declan Doyle calling this offense after not being in that spot before than I do about certainly Anthony Weaver, who isn't calling plays here, but he's been the main head honcho DC before, and Jesse Minter, same thing. So, you know, they're new here. Their new faces to our reunion, but they have the experience, right? Whereas the reason, in hindsight, we should have been more concerned about the Zach Orr decision when it happened was the lack of experience.
When we come back, give you an Orioles score update as they're taking on the Astros, game one of a doubleheader, Oriole Park, Camden Yards. Chris Bassett, so far so good. Tease that one a little bit. Ryan Ripken will rejoin us. We'll rip it with him. And then Mike Harmon, Fox Sports Radio, find out what's happening in his world as the NBA playoffs. Getting through the first round in a couple of instances. The number one seed, the Detroit Pistons, they're still in trouble. And in the West, you know, the Lakers had a chance to close out Houston. They didn't. Will this be a regrettable game for them?
The teams you grew up with,
Ravens are world champions,
are the ones you still love today. 105.7 The Fan.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ripping it with Ryan on the Vinny and Haney Show, 105.7 The Fan.
Orioles taking on the Astros here. Game one of two, Oriole Park, Camden Yards. We're in the bottom of the third inning. Chris Bassett, so far so good. Three scoreless, has given up a couple of hits. Orioles don't have a hit yet. Blaze Alexander is on the at the plate right now for Baltimore, as he is at shortstop. Just tuning in, here's the Orioles lineup, which right now is punchless. Granted, it's only third inning. Blaze just walked, Nolan. So there we go. Gunner's your DH today. Taylor Ward's in left field. Adley Rutschman behind the plate, batting third. Pete Alonso's at first. Beavers in right field. Jeremiah Jackson, second base. Colton Cowser, who lined out the third, his first at bat. He's in center. Kobe Mayo at third, and as we said, Blaze. So you're flipping the lineup here. You have speed on the base pass and Blaze, and we've heard all about his athleticism and, you know, the versatility he brings to the equation. But you're into your thumper territory. I do like aggressive base running, though. Hit and run seems to become a lost art in Major League Baseball. The dilemma here is, say, Alexander gets tossed trying to steal second, then Gunner doubles into the gap in right center field. Then you're, you know, taking a duck off the pond for one of your sluggers. But why not try to get a little creative? Because as we said, we want Bassett to go deep into the game. This is shaping up as one of these games where, you know, a mistake here, a mistake there could possibly determine the outcome right now.
Low margin of error, yeah. What you're saying. Yeah, I can see that coming. Feels like one of those games. It'd be a fast game, though. I mean, getting game two started here in no time.
Yeah.
Nolan Jinx coming through. look, I like what I'm seeing out of Bassett so far, right? I can't get done ranting and raving earlier about how everything's on his shoulders and these next 15 days, these next 2 weeks, everything's riding on him getting off to, you know, creating good momentum for the pitching staff today. And then be bickering about him going three scoreless innings. An efficient three innings, mind you. Like, it's not, the pitch count is relatively low. Things look like he's on track to actually do what they need him to do today, which, you know, forget five innings. I mean, six has to be the minimum here, and I would say work at least an out or two into the seventh.
Now, we look at the end of the month, you know, two games, one in progress, another one to follow here before we get to May. And Jeremiah Jackson has been one of the pleasant surprises for the Orioles this year, filling in for the injured Jackson Holiday. And, you know, if Jackson Holiday was hitting 280 with five homers, we'd be taking that in a heartbeat. You know what I mean? And getting it from Jeremiah Jackson has been a plus for sure. But what about Adley Rutschman? I know you had soured on him, Nolan McGraw. And granted, we're not three, and he's already been on the IL once with an ankle, but he is really hitting the ball with some authority. Is he Johnny Bench behind the plate? No, but he calls a good game. The pitchers have great confidence in him in that regard. So a month in, are you starting to, hey, this looks like the Adley Rutschman we saw in the second half of 22 through 23 and the first half of 24 here.
Right. And I mean, look, to be at the end of April here, and even with that missed time for him to, one, I remember I said it when he went on the IL, like, as great as he was to start the year, I was concerned that even just a little short stint on the IL could be enough to throw him off. He came right back, first game back. What did he homer? I mean, it picked up right where he left off. It was fantastic. I was very vocal. You're right. I believe the phrase was the Orioles don't need Adley Rutschman to get where they're going. I could not be more wrong. If Adley Rutschman wasn't doing what he's doing right now, I don't know what this team would look like.
He is, to borrow a phrase from Reggie Jackson, and I'm not saying he's going to turn out to be a Hall of Famer like Mr. October was, the straw that stirs the drink. The whole renaissance of Oriole baseball started when he was called up from the minors in May of 2022. Then Gunner came up later that year, August, homered his first at-bat in Cleveland. Remember, the helmet's flying, the hair's flopping all over the place. But when Adley Rutschman is good, everything else kind of falls into place. And I know Basayo's a stud, and he's got crazy power. And yeah, they can coexist. But when Adley's at his best, I think the Orioles are going to be at their best. I'm not saying he's their best player. Gunnar Henderson as their best player. And in my opinion, when he's healthy, Jordan Westberg's their second best player, because he can do a lot of things for you defensively and with his offense. I mean, he hits all fields. He's just a hell of a ball player. But I think Adley Rutschman being healthy and being what he's being now and in his all-star level performances, he's the guy that makes this thing go for them, at least offensively, and helps the pitching staff. There's only so much you can do with them, but I think they respect and you know, appreciate him enough and have confidence in him that, you know, they let him do his thing behind the plate, too.
Yeah, and he's already got a runner thrown out today. Closed out, I believe, the second inning. That ended on, him throwing out Altuve trying to steal second. And I saw Matt Weirich had this. I wanted to grab it. His success rate throwing out runners this year. Oh, here we go. Adley Rutschman has thrown out 30% of would-be base stealers this year, his highest rate since his rookie season when he threw out 30.6. So remember, that was rookie year. His success rate there around 30.6 was more in line with league average.
Sure.
In and around that ballpark. Then the following year is when the new rules, the bases got larger, the pickoff attempt, all
you
the
can only throw over
yeah,
a
yeah,
couple
all
of
that
times.
Stuff, and then we just saw stolen bases exploded across the league, and catcher success rates of throwing them out, even the best guys in the league, their numbers dropped. So this is encouraging. I still wouldn't be jumping out of my seat to proclaim that Adley Rutschman is an elite defensive catcher, but to produce these numbers and get back to closer to rookie Adley, that's more than enough.
Yeah, and I think, I guess my long-winded point is, he's a hell of a player. And I think we need to remember that. And he sucked for a year and a half. And he was hurt a lot in that process. And going back to 24, the second half, took the foul ball off the wrist, which was when his numbers, right before, I think it was right before the All-Star game, and his numbers dipped in the second half. Had a back issue that cost him a couple of starts. Last year on the IL twice. Not making excuses for him. But I think a lot of fans have forgotten why he was 1-1. And that gets kind of thrown in your face a little bit how bad he's been, because Bobby Witt ascended to an MVP-level player. And Bobby Witt's a badass. But they took Adley, got Gunner in the same draft. So it's kind of all worked out when healthy. Mm-hmm. For Adley Rutschman. Adley Rutschman is a really, really good ball player. And if he stays healthy, now I don't know if he'll get another contract from the Orioles. That's another conversation. But he's got the potential to be the best catcher the Orioles have ever had. Now, Sammy Basayo is only, what, 21, 22 years old? And he's got a cannon for an arm. Just refine his skills behind the plate. But, you know, let's... Adley was the guy that started the Orioles getting back to respectability. And as he started to suck, the team started to suck.
Yeah.
And I'm not Columbo over here, but I'm connected dots, Nolan.
Well, that's why, look, again, already said I'm wrong here for the month of April. And God, I hope this continues for the full season. I will be first in line to say that I was super wrong. Right. I want to be in that boat. But to revisit the mentality that led me to have the take that I did in the offseason, okay, you can say, yeah, we maybe quick to forget how good this guy is, all the tools coming out of the draft. But I would say that being the 1-1 guy, being that can't-miss prospect, all the stuff that you just said, that means that I kind of have, or I'm not willing to wait for you to figure, how do I say this? Wait's the wrong word. You shouldn't slump for a year and a half.
Gotcha.
If all that stuff's true. So when that started happening, and then it did coincide with a full team spiral and a full team regression, that's where I'm saying, okay, well now, yeah, there's something here. One season, sure, injuries played a part, but I think the feeling was justified at the time, and I'd be happy to be justified in the opposite direction.
But it's only April, and hopefully things carry over through the rest of the season and beyond. Birds and Astros scoreless. We're in the top of the fourth, one out. Pete Alonso just made another great play at first base defensively in support of Chris Bassitt. When we come back, Mike Harmon's going to be joining us. Talk sports with him, get his thoughts on the NFL draft that was, the NBA playoffs that are, and what's going on in baseball. Hey, it's White Sox. White Sox baseball. Hey, we're not as bad as we used to be.
What happens next happens here. Baltimore Sports Radio.
That ball is out of here.
105.7 The Fan. Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com. Big Bad Morning Show. Vinny and Haney. Inside Access. Live on YouTube weekdays 6 till 6. Search Baltimore 105.7 The Fan. Subscribe for daily shorts right to your phone and never miss what you miss. 105.7 The Fan. From the OuchGuy.com sports desk, here's Nolan McGraw.
The Ravens' biggest need coming out of the draft is without a doubt the center position.
unless they feel ready to put a big responsibility on in-house depth piece Corey Bullock's shoulders. They'll need to scoop someone else up before training camp begins. Eric DaCosta didn't sound too concerned when he was asked about it on the Lounge podcast.
You know, there'll be options for us, potentially terminated vets, potentially trade options. Obviously, we'll look at all those things. Some of the best deals we've ever made happened in June, July, August. As much as I regret not getting a center, I don't regret any of our picks.
And the Orioles' rotation has taken another big hit with the announcement that Trevor Rogers is heading to the 15-day IL. All that's been said about the move is that Rogers is dealing with an undisclosed illness, and since the IL placement was made retroactive to April 26th, the earliest he can return to the team is May 11th. It's unknown who will take his spot in the rotation, but for now the O's have recalled Cameron Foster from AAA to help out the bullpen. From the Bob Bell Kia Nissan of Essex Weather Center, partly cloudy with highs in the upper 60s. I'm Nolan McGraw, Ravens, Terps, and your home for the most Orioles coverage, 105.7 The Fan.
Ripping It with Ryan, sponsored by Dubo Law. Real people, real results. For a free consultation, call 410-ASK-DUBO. Here's Bob Haney and Ryan Ripken.
Well, Bob Haney right now. Ryan will be joining us shortly. Orioles right now through 3.5. Scoreless against the Astros. Chris Bassett got out of a little bit of a jam there, first and second. Two outs. Orioles still looking for some sort of offensive oomph here as they're getting shut out by the Houston Ball Club. Orioles, as you heard during Nolan's update, put Trevor Rogers on the IL, which puts the onus on veterans like Bassett to take the game to the next level. Joining us now to talk about what's happening in his world, and there's a lot as always, he's with Fox Sports Radio, SwollenDome.com. I Want Your Flex is the podcast. He's on the Window Nation guest hotline. He's our friend and yours. He's Mike Harmon. Mike, what's up?
Yeah, baby, good to hear you. Ready for another big weekend of sporting chaos. And, here in Los Angeles, everybody's got their consternation, vexation for different injuries, slow starts. The Lakers losing yesterday has people either really happy or sad. We're a wave of emotion. It's beautiful.
And how wavy were the emotions when the Rams took Ty Simpson at pick 13? And Sean McVay did not seem real pleased with said pick, but apparently, Mike, that he, McVay, and Simpson had secret meetings together. Minus photographs, of course. Yeah, no photographs.
No, it's great. It's, you know, what's funny, though, is he then did the car wash media tour yesterday, which really just didn't make a whole lot of sense. Own the pick, flip everybody off, and move on. I mean, you made the deals in the offseason going and fortifying your secondary. You had the extra pick from Kansas City. And as we talked about before the draft ever got underway, Bob, I mean, everybody was saying it was a 4-6 player draft. Guess what? They were all gone. Yeah. So at that point, you're looking around and going, all right, where's our biggest area of need short, long term? And it's the quarterback. Now, Ty Simpson, uneven last year. But talked to a number of folks, did my show with Greg Cosell. It's like, well, he's got the traits to get there, and these guys know quarterbacking. Matthew Stafford's old. Yes, he won the MVP, but people seem to forget, whether it was real or imagined, people were talking like he needed to go get a bacchiotomy last year. And instead, now it's like, everything's great there, so we don't need to address that. Like, no, you drafted 13th. Your team generally plays really well, so you ain't going to be up there to go draft the next great one when and if that time comes over the next couple of years, unless everything goes to hell. So go grab the guy. But, yeah, the way that went down here, I mean, I thought it was just a kayfabe work the whole time, but, you know, straight out of WWE.
Now, on a more serious note, how's Puka Nacua doing? You know, he checked himself into rehab. I mean, I've gone off the rails as a drunken a-hole more times than I could remember because, you know, I was drunk and I'll remember. But Puka Nacua, he went on a biting fest here. How is he doing trying to get himself back into some sort of a stable mental capacity here?
Yeah, it's a bit quiet. I mean, a little longer run, and whatever than whatever Mike Vrabel went to in terms of rehabilitation, therapy, counseling, etc. But, you know, for Puka Nacua, he's a guy that, you know, ride the lightning kind of guy the last couple of years, and has had some run-ins and, you know, with his mouth and putting himself in situations. So, you know, realizing that, you know, there's still another giant bag and a big career to come. When it was announced, it seemed like it was, all right, here's a PR stunt. And, you know, like all of these things in our personal lives and certainly, you know, the people we cover, you hope that, you know, if you're really looking for help, you go and find it.
Sure.
Because, you know, the old rule of thumb is until the person themselves realizes that something may become a problem, you ain't getting them to go along, right? You can't force someone to make a change they're not ready for. So for Nacua, people are just hopeful that, you know, with he and Devontae Adams, they can saddle up for another run. But, you know, we always forget the human element to all of this, Bob, right? The, you know, there are people living lives like the rest of us, just with a giant camera and telescopic lens looking at us.
Mike Harmon, Fox Sports Radio, joining us here. Bob Haney, Nolan McGraw, Ryan Ripken's in the building. I'm pretty sure of that. But we look at baseball here as we wrap up the month of April. And you have the Yankees and Rays in the American League. And then you have the Braves. And you have the Reds and the Cubbies there. I guess the Cardinals to some level. And then you have the Dodgers and the Padres. But other than that, a lot of mediocrity. The Orioles win today. They get to 500. And they've had a ton of problems. Crappy defense in the outfield. Injured staff. Offense inconsistent. But I don't know if it's as full-on Rozelle level. But is this something that Rob Manfred had hoped for? You know, a little mediocrity as long as a couple of the big market teams are still resonating national here.
Well, I mean, that's what we talk about with the NFL, right? You want everybody 8-9 or 9-8, one or two teams to captivate everybody's imagination of greatness, and so you can invoke the memories of great teams, players, and plays past. So I think it works. The end of April, so still, you know, a lot of folks rounding themselves into shape in some ways or another. We're seeing pitchers starting to stretch out their outings a little bit. But yeah, all in, it's been a fairly nondescript first month of the season, right? We've had a couple of runs, a couple of big performances, but nothing that gets you excited. I mean, one of the best stories, the one nobody's going to talk about because it's my crappy White Sox team, and that's Murakami.
Nolan's push.
Yeah, but here's the problem is every time you talk about him and how great it is, you also have to remind yourself that he's only under contract for 2 years, which means he's a Yankee or a Dodger in 2 years. So all of that to say, you know, we enjoy it for what it is while we can, and you hope that they make races of it, right? I mean, we're watching it with the NBA. Eastern Conference wasn't particularly great. But all we hope for is close games late and that there's some meaningful ball to be had. We'll get some separation. And I don't know if the Central ends up being the best division in baseball, then I think hell hath frozen over.
All right, Mike, last thing for you. You mentioned the NBA. What's the angst level out in L.A. after the Lakers could not close out Houston last night? Who knows what Kevin Durant's status will be for game six? But what about L.A.? When's Luka getting back into the old uniform?
Well, they're saying he might not be ready, even if they make the next round, that he might miss all of that too. I think the term has been cannon fodder for OKC, but I thought it was just delicious theater. I was on air last night as that game was winding down. You have LeBron waving the white flag on the whole MJ argument as part of his, you know, bowels of the stadium with McMenamin series. And then he goes out and he has his lunch money taken by Reed Shepard on one possession. And then down four with 16 seconds left, a wide open path to do his Clyde Drexler, I'm going to run you over and get to the basket, settles for a bad 3-point shot. And it was just so great that on the call, they're like, you know, he's now 0-for-6 from 3 tonight, as if to say, yeah, you weren't hitting any of those shots before, and now with the money on the line, you're taking another 3. I was like, oh, wow, this is just great theater. But yeah, the recognition is, hey, J.J. Redick seems to be the right guy. There's going to be a lot of roster overhaul. You have to pay Austin Reeves. Kennard, who's been fantastic, was relegated to a sideshow guy running cardio for 32 minutes with his 1 point and minimal shot options. So it's really all right, here's the celebration of what was, because even if they finish off the Rockets, it'll be a dismal beatdown in the next round. So just try to be happy for what was.
He's Mike Harmon, Fox Sports Radio, SwollenDome.com. I Want Your Flex is the podcast. Mike, always great to talk to you. Enjoy the rest of your Total Request Thursday, and we'll catch up with you next week.
Peace and love, brother. Enjoy the week.
You we'll got it, man. There's Mike Harmon, everybody. Orioles right now, scoreless with the Astros. Birds have a runner on first. Two outs, bottom of the fourth. We'll get you up to date on the score as we get it. We'll come back, close out the program, make way for Inside Access here on The Fan.
After Vinny and Haney, it's Inside Access.
Football heavy show. Femi Iyanbadeja, former Raven, will be in studio with us. Mike Silver was in the Ravens draft room during the draft. He'll give us the sights and sounds from the draft room. And Charles Davis, he's from NFL.com. What did he think of the Ravens draft? He'll tell us.
Next on Sports Radio 105.7 The Fan. This is an Odyssey Sports Minute.
The Detroit Pistons just pulled off a massive 116-109 victory over the Orlando Magic to keep their season alive. In an absolute heavyweight battle, Cade Cunningham put the team on his back with a franchise playoff record 45 points, outlasting a 45-point effort from Paolo Banchero. Because of this, Detroit lives to see another day, and the series goes back to Orlando for Game 6. I'm Addie Bates.
Ripping it with Ryan on the Vinny and Haney Show, 105.7 The Fan.
All right, Orioles right now, Astros, Birds up one zip. Top of the fifth inning, Orioles got a run. Jeremiah Jackson doubles down the left field line, scores Pete Alonso, who walked. So Chris Bassitt, who we had asked to give the Orioles a quality start, certainly doing that so far. Yeah, I want some more crooked numbers up here on the scoreboard. But Ryan Ripken.
Hello.
You've been relatively quiet the last 45 minutes. Was your mic off or what?
Yeah, I guess so. Well, I'll tell you what. Bob, I've had a lot of great interviews so far. And knowing a lot of great interviews, and I've heard a lot of great things about Coach Dabo Swinney. And I say that I have a lot of, like, this is one of the best. I can honestly say that was one of the best interviews. I know we're not going to have all the time today, but I got the full scoop on the Bisciotti conversation and how their relationship started, which is absolutely hysterical, which we will play tomorrow here on The Fan. Talk about from Randall to John Simpson and everything that he said about Adam Randall and even about how the Ravens go about their process. I think fans are going to be really intrigued to hear and fascinated because for me, I'm sitting there. I didn't know some of this stuff, Bob.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciated his time. So if that's cool with you guys, Nolan, are you okay if I run some Dabo Swinney interview tomorrow here on The Fan?
I'll be here. We'll be here for it.
Perfect.
Yes.
Perfect.
He's the producer.
All right. Then
pass it along as soon as possible. We'll have it ready to go.
You don't want me to pass it on 5 minutes before tomorrow?
I would prefer not.
Okay.
But if that's the case, my job description is make it work, which we will do.
So there we go. Tomorrow, head coach at Clemson, Dabo Swinney, talking about all things Clemson and Ravens connections and with Steve Bisciotti, the biscuit, and all of that. Did he talk about NIL? Is he still frowning upon that sort of thing?
You know what? He talked about a great journey with it. And I'm also saying, because this has been a good week, and we got to talk a lot of baseball because it's Yankees tomorrow, but I also sat down with some Ravens draft picks as well. So, you know, a lot of the perception of what we hear, this is why I love the insights of everything that you see with Coach. He explains so many things there. So, Nolan, you and I, we have some homework. We're going to pick which ones you think all of our listeners will want to hear.
Sounds good. Looking forward to it.
All right, let's go to that funhouse, Nolan.
Quick Draws Funhouse. Sponsored by the Smile Design Center. Changing the way you feel about dentistry one smile at a time. For information or to schedule an appointment for care, visit them today at smiledesigndoctor.com. 105.7 The Fan.
So
Some of the Ravens won here. Texter says, don't get me wrong, I am glad that John Harbaugh is no longer the coach of the Ravens, but there sure were a lot of free agents that followed him and signed with the Giants. That's the part that concerns me most about this offseason, not the coaching changes, the pieces that departed in free agency.
Or the whole narrative that he had lost the locker room, too.
Yeah, well, that was clearly not the case, but we also saw that there was some friction at times, right? There were some comments, obviously,
Zay Flowers
talking about with practicing, but it's a new era. I got to say, it's also going with what Dabo is saying. The Ravens, they got a good plan here moving into to the 2026 season.
And money talks, too.
That does,
they're
certainly
not,
they're
not going to work for cheap.
No.
This one here on the Orioles, Texter says, I agree with Bob. Let's see more action on the base paths. Especially in a low scoring game like this, everything counts.
Yeah, did I miss the rule, Ryan, where the hit and run's no longer allowed in baseball? Or
no, it hasn't been banned yet.
No.
And you know, great point, Bob. That was a great point, and I'm glad that we're acknowledging that. Look, you know why the Rays are winning games, too? I said Rays baseball. They bunted the Yankees to death, and they were causing havoc on the base paths. And I think that style of game is starting to slightly come back, but it's also maximizing what you can do. And when we're talking about fundamentals, putting a hit and run on, putting down some bunts, and forcing teams to make plays, yes, they're professional athletes. Yes, they should make the plays, but we have seen teams struggle when they're put under pressure. So I'm with you, Bob. Great point on this Thursday.
Well, thank you very much, and it's not on top of my head. And the Rays can hit home runs from time
to
time.
They can.
One last thought for today on the subject of the doubleheader. Fan here just happy that the Orioles finally prioritized the fans over a money grab. Traditional doubleheader today. You don't see it often in baseball. I can't remember the last time the Orioles had one. Maybe I'm just completely blanking here, but feels like every time there's been a doubleheader, you go with the split admission and that whole runaround.
I could be wrong, but I think there may have been one last year because they had so many rainouts. I think they had to cram a couple in because it is travel day. I mean, Houston's going to Boston, Orioles going to the Bronx. But you can, if you had tickets for, was it last night's game, you redeem them, get tickets for another game you bought today. You know, it is what it is. You know, you improvise and adapt for an advanced society. You know, the Astros had to sign off on this, right? They could have said, screw you, we're not doing a doubleheader, you know, because we got to get out of Dodge. So they made it work. And yeah, they're prioritizing the fan. You could sit there and watch two games for the price of one. I'm old enough to remember when they used to schedule doubleheaders.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the day, they'd start at 2 o'clock on a Sunday at Memorial Stadium. There you go.
And the same pitcher would pitch both games.
And eat Scrapple and drink scotch on the mound in between innings. We'll be back tomorrow. Oh, featured artist Friday. Who we got?
ELO tomorrow. Electric Light Orchestra.
All right, acceptable. Yeah. Acceptable. If you would have said ELP, I would have made an executive decision. But when we come back tomorrow, video will be here from noon to 2, or 2 to 10 to noon. Then Riveting with Ryan, talking Orioles Yankees, hopefully talking about the Orioles sweeping the Astros, here from Dabo Swinney, and everything else going on. For Nola McGraw, Vinny Serrato, Ryan Ripken, I'm Bob Haney. Stay safe, stay healthy. Inside Access coming up next. For now, I'll ask the Smith.
Wherever the Orioles season takes you.
Say goodbye to this ball.
Download the free Odyssey app and hear reactions to all the biggest moments. Download it today and search 105.7 The Fan.
I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore. It's about interesting family stories and the truth behind them. It's available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.